Hi, this is Connie with the National Society for Histotechnology and your host for Mentor-Mentee Relationships, episode 2 in our 5-part series, Women in Histology. Mentorship is a topic I think a lot of people hear about, but may not always have a clear picture of. So I asked some of our members who are engaged in these supportive relationships to share their stories and their tips. The first interview is with Janice Alvarez and Lois Anderson, who reflected on the supportive relationship they developed over the years while working together at Johns Hopkins. While Lois describes that she was mentored by Janice, Janice also shares the lessons she's learned from Lois. It's an honest conversation that really helps illustrate what a successful mentor-mentee relationship looks like. I also spoke with Sarah Mack, our NSH Heart Tissue Committee Chair. She shared her story on how being mentored has advanced and changed her career, and her thoughts on why it's important for her now to be a mentor. And last but not least, I chatted with Diane Sturkey, the NSH president, who gave her tips on ways to be a successful mentor based on the experiences she has had. It's a great episode, and we hope you enjoy it as much as we do.
I am sitting down with Lois and Janice, who are both members of Johns Hopkins University's regular attendees of the NSH convention and presenters. And they are talking to us a little bit about the relationship that they've established and what that relationship has meant for them during their careers. So first of all, welcome Janice and Lois. Super excited to have you here.
Hi, Connie.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So I'm going to ask you guys just our first question, which is telling us a little bit about how you met and how long you've known each other. So I don't know, Janice, do you want to go ahead and tackle that one first?
I think 1999 is when we met.
After.
And I'm not sure if our first meeting was a true formal meeting. Lois at the time was hired in a part of pathology and surgical pathology and anatomic pathology, but not directly in the histology laboratory. So I knew of her, but I did not at that time look very closely with her. That came in later on.
That's correct. I don't think we had a formal introduction for quite some time. I was very much aware of who Janice was. I worked in a different building, still part of surgical pathology and AP, but in a different building that did not interface very often with the routine histology lab. But in a short time of being here, I became very aware of who she was. And I honestly cannot recall our initial meeting.
Lois, you were originally in pathology, and then how did you move? Are you in the histology lab now, or were you when you guys first met?
So I was hired initially as a technician in the electron microscopy laboratory, which was part of the Department of Pathology. And at that time, I may as well tell the story, at that time my supervisor was only here a short time after, or here present at Hopkins a short time after hiring me. And so I was a supervisor-less technician in the electron microscopy lab who was really looking for someone to connect to help me navigate my way through not just the Department of Pathology, but really just the Hopkins culture altogether. I was a transplant in terms of even having moved here to the state of Maryland, so I wasn't familiar with anything in this area at all. And so kind of found myself really needing someone to kind of attach myself to help me get acclimated to this new world I had entered into. And so we were both part of the Department of Pathology and interfaced that way initially. But within a short time of being here, I became involved in the routine histology laboratory, and that's where we really developed our relationship and connected.
So you and Janice really have covered all aspects, not just the lab, but outside, because you had to move up here and change everything. And did you ever have constructive conversations about the work? You mentioned that you guys didn't meet in a formal way, but it sounds like Janice has really helped you through, you said, the Hopkins culture. Has she ever had to provide, and Janice, feel free to chime in, constructive feedback? And conversely, Lois, have you ever had to provide constructive feedback to Janice on whether it's the culture or the lab or any other topic?
I think I'll take that one first. She definitely has had to give me constructive feedback over the years. My introduction to routine histology came after several years of working in electron microscopy and immunofluorescence. So when I came into the routine histology lab, I didn't have a vast amount of experience in a histology laboratory. And so Janice, for me, you know, was like the closest thing I had to a textbook walking around. And she really helped me, not just with the technical aspects of the lab. I think the most important thing she did for me was to help me understand that I understood the basics and how to translate what I knew and understood into the environment I had just become a part of. And so there were times when, as a technical resource, she certainly had to give me insight and instruction onto as to the best way to handle a technical process. But even as a new laboratory manager, she was a resource for me as to how to deal with employee issues, addressing workflow challenges that I was having in the lab. In terms of constructive criticism, I think very recently we had a conversation where she had to remind me of my communication style and how sometimes my communication style can be a little too direct and a little too, what's the word I want, Janice?
Assertively efficient?
There you go. That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
And so recently she had to remind me of that and kind of give me an alternate way to take an approach to a situation, which turned out to be very helpful. So, yeah, I've had several instances where she's provided constructive criticism that I've grown from.
So, Janice, have you had these types of relationships with other people in the lab before you and Lois connected, or are you and Lois really sort of the dynamic team?
I absolutely had those types of interactions with others, and it's amazing because in many of them, I saw in them a little bit of me, myself. And what I've discovered over the years was that early on in histology, when I started out, I was lucky enough to have someone who just picked me up and planted me and was that mentor for me. And it wasn't until years later that I realized that that person truly was a mentor. And I speak to that person now today, some 44 years later, and she is adamant that, no, she didn't feel that she was a mentor. She just felt that she had a responsibility to teach and teach things the right way and to allow that person also to take what she gives them and to plant that in their own particular piece of soil and become who it is that they can become within that career. So I sort of treated people the way I was treated. And like Lois, I was a transplant. The Hopkins environment was new to me. There's this common Hopkins saying that you know, people say, well, that's not the Hopkins way. And for many of us in histology, there's only one way to do it. So what in the world is the Hopkins way? And you know, coming from a smaller community hospital in Brooklyn, New York, when I came to Hopkins, I just like, why? Why do you want to do it that way? And sometimes I would get an answer to that why that I could understand. But more often than not, I did not. And I did not want to give that to someone else. I wanted to be able to give them a reason or to be able to talk it through and figure it out why a particular thing was done a certain way.
What about you, Lois? Do you feel that same way as far as do you feel that it's part of your responsibility to be a teacher? Do you create those relationships as well with more junior professionals now that are entering into your lab and your world?
I absolutely do. I had it modeled for me. Prior to coming to Hopkins and meeting Janice, I too had a mentor, someone who took me very much under her wing and just kind of helped me develop into the person that I became professionally and likewise personally, because I think that exchange develops us comprehensively. So I had that experience. And then I came to Hopkins, and of course, after encountering Janice, was very happy to find that there was someone who was like-minded in that way. I have technicians in my lab now who I've had the privilege of watching grow and develop. And the interesting thing is that I'm in a unique position because a number of the technicians in my lab now started with Janice. And they will tell you that she was the first person to give them their opportunity in histology and to teach them the basics. And so now I have very specialized labs and very specialized areas. So to watch those people have, you know, kind of transferred from those basic histology skills that they got with Janice to now come into my lab and develop into these highly specialized trained technicians that I still have mentoring relationships with has been incredibly rewarding. So the short answer is I absolutely do still share that philosophy.
So here's a question for you both. If there was somebody who was looking to find a mentor or really just go and find somebody who could help support them as they move forward in their career, what kind of advice would you give them to identify that person or even approach that person? Because it can be intimidating when been around and has this great reputation.
That's a difficult question.
Yeah.
How do you do that? It's almost as if you're not looking for that person, Connie. It's almost as if all of a sudden they're right there and that connection is made.
Just kind of keeping your eyes open and being aware of the people around you?
Yeah, and it just develops. And I think the best way is not so much to ask a person if you know, would you be able to mentor me? Because as a mentor and having been a mentor with NSH, it's difficult to understand how do I do that? When you ask yourself, how do I mentor? How do I do? Because you don't really know, and you don't know until you understand what the needs are of the mentee. And I think the best way is if there is someone in your environment with whom you feel you would like to learn from, ask them a question that's related to the field.
Mm-hmm.
Pique that interest and to ask a question. And that always opens the door. That will always open the door. And if that person with whom you're seeking to mentor you, if they're not receptive, it's probably best then to move on.
Do you feel the same way, Lois?
I do. I think I would echo the sentiment. My response was going to be to ask the question, and not necessarily the question about mentoring, because as Janice has already stated, and I know has been my experience, you don't really set out necessarily to say, I am going to mentor you. But what you find is that compatible individual who's open to the opportunity to grow and develop together. And when you have something to share with them, they're open to receive it, and it becomes a mentoring-mentee relationship, though it may not necessarily have initially started out that way. So I would agree. I think the best thing is to ask the question. And I think people who are given to teaching and sharing the information are going to be responsive to the opportunity to share that information with you. And they're going to be intrigued by your interest, and I think it develops from there.
That's the key point, as Lois mentioned, is you form a relationship. Lois has talked so much about what she learned from me. But in my relationship with Lois, probably unbeknownst to her, I've learned so much about who I am and what my resolve is and what my abilities are. And I'm not just saying those things that are positive things or things you know you can do, but also those things that you know you need to work on. And Lois is probably totally unaware what I've gotten from her over the years in our relationship. There is a steadfast assuredness in Lois that I find very, very comforting and very reassuring, because she's okay with what she doesn't know and expressing it and seeking the right way to do things or how to do it. And over the years, whether she realizes it or not, I've come to Lois with many things just to talk things out, because she has this very, very clear sense of how things are. And I'm not sure she doesn't realize.
So here's the final question I'm going to ask you both. You've kind of answered it, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it because I put it in that list. What is the best advice that, Janice, you may have received from Lois, and Lois, the best advice that you may have received from Janice over the years?
Oh, I think, and I still do think so, that I just know so little. And that I don't, I know it sounds crazy, that I don't have a lot to offer. Don't laugh. Okay? And that I keep trying, pushing harder and harder, trying harder and harder to do it. And Lois will make me stop, stop. What are you doing? You look what you can do, look what you know, and just be able to accept who you are, what you have, your abilities, and to embrace them and stop trying to push yourself so hard. I'm always pushing, Connie, always.
I definitely see that all the time, Janice, especially when I make you volunteer for things you didn't know you were about to volunteer for.
I'm retired. I've been home now. As of tomorrow, 1 month, and every day I still get up and I think about what we need to do in histology and anatomic pathology and search path that could improve our process, that could make things better, that how things will work better for the technicians or for the patients or for the department overall. And I'm trying to convince myself that while I'm doing it, I don't have to do it. Why are you doing this? I can't help. I can't stop.
There's some of us that are really happy about that. I want to
What about you, Lois?
I think for me, I've learned so much from her over the years, both technically and professionally. I think if I had to choose one thing, it would be that I've learned from her through her encouragement to take advantage of the opportunities that are made available to me. I think I'm thinking my very first NSH workshop was probably 7 or 8 years ago now. Yeah, it may actually be longer than that. But
I think I worried you to death.
It was, right. And it was a workshop in electron microscopy. I'll never forget it. And I just didn't think I had, I didn't think I had enough information to share, to fill, you know, a segment of a workshop. And Janice encouraged me to take advantage of this opportunity that I had. And so I think that's what I've learned from her. And I can't tell you how much I've benefited even just from the relationship I have with NSH and how I've grown and developed other relationships and taken advantage of other opportunities and just learned some. But if she had not encouraged me to take advantage of that opportunity, I don't think I would be the person I am professionally to this day. And I now pass that on to my techs. And it's a wonderful experience to watch someone do something that they didn't think they could do and to do it and do it successfully. And I learned that from her. A missed opportunity is nothing more than that. It's a missed opportunity. And every opportunity affords you the opportunity to grow. And she taught me to take advantage of those opportunities that were presented to me.
That's fantastic. Well, that's all of my questions. This was an amazing interview. We are so grateful to you both for being part of this discussion with us. And thank you. Thank you so much for being on the call. I'm sitting down with Sarah Mack, who is the Histology Core Manager at the Department of Orthopedic Research at the Center for Musculoskeletal Research at the University of Rochester Medical Center. I'm going to just kick off and ask you a little bit about some of the supportive relationships that you've established in your career.
Well, first off, I'd like to say that Mary Georgia is one of the greatest mentors I've had in my career. She taught me how to do histology as a lab technician with on-the-job training. I had experience watching her do histology and was interested in it. I expressed my interest to her, and she actually taught me how to do it. I loved it and everything about it. She taught me how to do processing, to embedding, to cutting, and everything. And I just really fell in love with it. And from there, Mary taught me, or she didn't teach me, actually. She encouraged me to become involved in the New York State Histotechnological Society, where I've been a member for many years. Started out as a student member, and from there became a board member, and now I am the New York State Histotechnology Society president. And Mary also, as my supervisor back in 2005 advocated for me to attend the National Society for Histotechnology's annual symposium.
You said that you were watching Mary performing the functions of a histology professional. Was that when you were at University of Rochester? Were you there working in the lab at that time, or were you doing something else when you first met Mary?
I was at the University of Rochester. We were in a different department, and I was actually an animal care tech in that lab. It was research, and I just was fascinated at what she was doing, and I expressed that to her, and she asked me if I would be interested in learning. And from there, I learned, and actually, many years later, I helped Mary learn how to do hard tissue. So it
was
a complete turnaround, and it was great.
When you started in the histology lab, you said that you approached Mary, and she said that she would show you what to do. Was that an intimidating thing to go up to her and ask her about that, or did you feel pretty comfortable doing that?
Well, no, actually, I've always been quite comfortable with Mary, and I did. I thought it was really cool what she was doing. I told her, and she took the initiative to ask me if I wanted to learn. So that was easy. You know, when you first start out, and especially as an on-the-job trained person, you don't know if you're as qualified as everybody else. But NSH and the members of NSH really took me in and made me feel comfortable. And, you know, I decided that I wanted to give a workshop, and Mary said that she would help me give a workshop. So we co-presented actually on mentoring in the workplace. And from there, we started giving workshops on hard tissue. I think at that point, Kim Simmons had asked me if I would be interested in being involved as the hard tissue chair. And that was really quite scary. And through Mary's help and Gail Callis's help, I've done pretty well. It's challenging. I have a lot to learn, but they have been very supportive. And without those role models mentoring me, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Do you feel that having this relationship with Mary and the guidance that Gail's provided you, do you find that when more junior professionals approach you now, do you find that it's easier to talk with them and sort of emulate the skills that mirrored for you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In my center, as a core facility, we actually have 72 investigators that we work for. And as part of that, we have a training grant. And so I do a lot of training of regular college students at the University of Rochester, grad students, undergrads, postdocs. I've even trained residents. And it's great because there's a lot of people that like to do the whole process themselves too and see the end results. And when they're happy, I'm happy, and it makes me feel proud that I can help them feel that way.
If you were to give somebody some advice about a junior professional entering into the histology lab, trying to kind of get their footing, not just in the lab, but also in the larger profession, what kind of advice would you give somebody who might be looking to either find a mentor or establish some type of a relationship with somebody to help with their professional questions and feedback and those experiences that you've described?
Well, I think it's really important to know that if you have a question about anything in our field, that it's okay to ask. You know, how did you do that? Or do you have a trick to make that happen? Because we do. As histologists, we all have little tricks. Don't be afraid to ask people. And more importantly, to the people that are above the junior staff, it is our responsibility to share our information and the knowledge that we have, because somebody has at some point shared it with us in order for us to know how we're able to do what we do. I have learned so many things from both Gail and Mary, and I wouldn't have been able to if they didn't share with me what they know. I encourage people to ask, and I encourage people to share their knowledge.
It's a great story to hear about how you got into the field, especially what you were just commenting on, how by just approaching Mary and asking her a question, it really changed the trajectory of your own career, and how people like Mary and Gail not only helped you with your job in the lab, but also got you involved in the National Society as well as in your local state society. And it's terrific advice for both somebody who's looking to ask those questions and be mentored, and then also individuals who have the knowledge and should be creating those mentee relationships with others. So thank you very much for sharing your story and for that advice.
Well, I'd like to thank NSH for giving me the opportunity to share the knowledge that I have and to network with the people that are also sharing knowledge for me to gain.
I sat down with Diane Sturkey, who is the NSH president. Diane is somebody that has, over the years, mentored numerous individuals in the field, both in the society and also inside the lab. So I want to first welcome you, Diane, to our episode. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for asking me.
To kick things off, when you've established a relationship with somebody, how has that come about? Was it a formal invitation, or was it a more organic development, like you met at an event and you just sort of started helping somebody?
It actually started probably about 30, 35, 36 years ago when I first got into histology. The chief medical pathologist started to train me to be a histotech from, you know, his perspective. And he was very enthused about the fact that I was willing to learn and I had a degree and everything. And so he first had a mentor before I became a mentor. And so it really, he made sure that I took the exam, the certification exam. He made sure he set me out on his personal pocket money to be trained by Lee Luna. And people only know him from the older histotechs. And he was like Mr. Histology. And so he trained me. And then also he paid for my membership to ASCP and NSH so that I go and do all the things that they have and participate in any of the training they have. And so for 5 years, I had this wonderful gentleman that really built my career. And we actually quit on the same day, the hospital, and went off to the university.
That's great.
But yeah, it was, and so I had a great experience and really found out what he did to make me understand and appreciate everything that and love histology. And so I think that I learned from him to actually mentor other people. And one of the things that I noticed that was very important before I started taking on people that would ask me, you know, I would like to do this and do that, and, you know, could you help me? It was more of a career mentorship. I keep remembering that one of the things that he always said to me was the fact that you need to listen. You could be thinking about something else, and he always was thinking about something else. I always thought that his mind never shut down. He did so many things. It was just really wonderful. You know, I'm so lucky. And he always says, just take the time to listen, and then you can figure out what they're really asking you. And that was one of the big things I kept with me throughout the time that I'm in a histotech. I started taking on one person that was in the lab there. She just won an award a couple of years ago at NSH. I helped her get through the certification. We had our ups and downs, but I think she really paid attention, and I tried to pay attention to what she was wanting. She comes every year to NSH. You know, we always talk, her and her husband. Her husband's a physician. And when she won the award, she came up and said, it was because of you. She is now a PA, so that helps. She went on, just kept going on and on and on. She just learned that, you know, she's not supposed to quit learning. That's the biggest thing, and that's the biggest thing I push forward, too, is that you never stop learning.
Now, when you say that there were times you guys had some difficult conversations, how do you typically provide that type of constructive criticism? How do you typically approach that?
Well, I try to not do it in the laboratory situation. I try to do it in a private area, more like an office or even in a break room when no one else is around. I'm quick to answer before I think. So I have to take a deep breath before I do that. It's always been one of my habits. You know, I think it's from growing up out east in a rough neighborhood. So I really think that I always need to take time and think about it before I react. And so that would be the way I would do it. And I would bring the topic up and say, you know, why is it that you feel this way about that? And, you know, we would talk about, can I change your mind? Can I show you why this would be better? Or can you give me a reason why something else would be better? You know, it's like you have to compromise some and give them a chance to say why they don't think it's a good idea or why they don't agree. And that comes with when you're in supervisory and management roles. It's really both of us have to win on it. It's not an argument. We don't want it to be an argument. We don't want it to be the end of a friendship or an end of a partnership.
And just, you know, aside from these difficult conversations, do you have any advice to somebody who might be kind of making that transition into being a mentor on how often you should reach out to somebody that you're mentoring, or if there's a type of communication that's more effective, telephone, email, or just sort of the whole combination of them?
Well, I have one young woman that I actually took her in off the elevator at Case Western. It was really kind of funny. I read about her in the news, the Case Western news letter, and they had a picture of her, and I got on the elevator, and there she is. And I heard she graduated, and I asked her if she needed a job. And she said, I have a job. And I said, what is that? And she says, washing dishes for somebody's lap. And I said, you're the person that's in this article. And she goes, yes. And I said, would you like to come to work for me? And she insisted the whole time she did come to work for me. She even moved to Baltimore with me, with the company. She insisted the whole time she worked for me that she was not going to be a histotech, And, you know, and we wrote a paper together. We developed a stain together. And I would smile. And she wanted to be an optometrist. And I'm smiling. And every now and then, she still says, I see her at a meeting. And I'm like, what are you doing now? Well, I'm the supervisor of the bone lab at so-and-so, you know. I have my HTL and I have my master's. And so now she just informed me that she's running a large lab in a hospital. So you can feel sometimes, you know, you meet somebody and you can feel that they like you for some reason and they just want to do something. But as far as contacting, I think the people that want you to mentor them come to you in some way or another. Somehow you're meant to meet. But I really think it's important that you don't push yourself on somebody as a mentor. And I think that you don't need to have constant contact. I mean, I rarely talk to the people. It's either email or by phone. You don't realize you're mentoring until after you're there. Yeah.
Some of our other interviewers said that they met their mentors or their mentees when there was a question posed. So somebody had a technical question. Or Sarah Mack actually said she met Mary Georgia because she asked Mary, what are you doing? Sarah was working in a different department. And so Mary explained to Sarah what she was doing, and that's really where their relationship started. So when you're talking about sort of that natural connection, it seems like that is the common thread with everybody that we've spoken to, is that it is an interaction that just sort of turns into an additional conversation, that turns into assistance on a project or a paper, as you were mentioning.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is the case in every incident. When you're mentoring somebody that has the love of what they do, it's easier to be honest with them. My husband once said that he was a banker, and he just said every morning it's like horrible for him to go to work. Even though he had a good job, he says, you're lucky. You get up, but you love what you do, so you don't really mind going to work. And that's the thing. You got to find that person that's going to like it, you know, that you have that in common. Because I found it difficult when I came to Indiana that I had 20 technicians, and they all were at a different stage of their job, a feeling of their job. They had a supervisor prior to me that restricted them to everything. I mean, they had to ask for something. They couldn't fix something on their own. They couldn't honestly think on their own. And it was pretty much not a comfortable situation. And so it was really hard for me to figure out what all these different people, their different personalities, their different cultures, and try to get them to do what they know how to do. And so that was a hard job for me. And I ended up actually bringing somebody from Baltimore that wanted to come here. Never left Baltimore, never been out of Baltimore, and she moved here to work for me. So I can do it. I just need, the time to do it, and I need the feeling. And honestly, there was probably about six of them that I really never connected with, and that I helped them get another job outside of the lab because there was no connection. I think they thought I was going to be the same as the person before, or they wanted that, and I just can't do that.
So if you could give one piece of advice, you mentioned that the best piece of advice you received from your mentor was to listen. But if you could give just one best piece of advice to somebody who is looking to become a mentor, what would that advice be?
It has to feel right. It's almost like an interview with the person you might want to mentor. It has to feel right. It's kind of do an interview type thing. And, listen during that interview and see if there is a fit that you can help them. If not, find somebody that you know fits that personality of the person that needs help.
You've given us a lot of really good tips for those individuals who are either currently mentoring or really going into that portion of their career where they want to be able to help the junior professionals in their lab. And I want to say thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Women in Histology, brought to you by the National Society for Histotechnology. Check out all of our podcasts by visiting the blog or find us on iTunes. Search word HistoTalks.